I'm Danielle McCartan here with John Wetland. Everybody that's a Yankee fan knows who he is. He's a three-time All-Star, 1996 AL Saves leader, and a 1996 World Series MVP. We're here at a Mint Pros and J. Irwin Productions event. What is it like to be at an event like this with these fans, talking to these fans?
It's always wonderful to come back, and anytime I'm asked back now that I can physically do it, I try and do because, they're the best fans in the world, bar none. It's amazing to me to see how much, if you're a winner here, that's it. I mean, they remember you for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that's very special to us as players.
So the 20th anniversary of the Yankee 96 team was held this year at the stadium. What was it like to come back here with the guys again for an event like that?
We all picked up right where we left off. Yeah. So especially when we were standing in the tunnel waiting to be introduced, it took forever. It took like a half hour, and we were just in full-blown 96 mode. It was hysterical. Jimmy Key and Wade Boggs going at it each other, and all kinds of other stuff like that. But we had fun as a team and respected each other's work and respected where we played. And so, it was a special time. Again, we didn't skip a beat.
Very cool. So you were part of the 95 team and again in 96. What was the difference between, I know you had a little bit with Buck Showalter, but what was the biggest difference between Showalter's Yankees and Torrey's Yankees in terms of climate, team climate?
Torrey was very easygoing. Joe has a kind of a spirit about him that, you want to please him. And other people kind of want to be a little more forceful to you. And you can kind of see through when they're trying to massage something that they're really aiming for something else. But Joe Torre brought a calmness to us, the young guys and the veterans felt the exact same way. He never made anyone feel out of place. He didn't try and overmanage or micromanage. He said, this is how I am, just be like that and you're going to be fine. And we did it.
Well, it shows. The results had shown, right? So now you had four dominant saves in the World Series, the 96 World Series. Is there one that is more important or resonates stronger now?
Well, the last one, because, the Andy Pettit save was probably the toughest one. Mm-hmm. Because you come in with a man on third and one out, you can't afford to give up a fly ball, and I'm a fly ball pitcher.
Right.
And so that was an interesting mound conference because Jim Leyritz came out, and I called Charlie Hayes in from third. And I said, Javi Lopez is at the plate. And he was a tremendous fastball hitter. Didn't matter how hard he threw. And so I said, I'm starting him off with a slider. He's gonna pull it to you, Charlie. And he'll probably hit a ground ball. Well, he smoked it pretty good, but it went exactly at Charlie. So we were able to hold the runner and then get the third out with O'Neill's great play.
Right.
But the last one, by then your body's so beat up and from regular season and postseason, because I pitched a lot during the postseason. And just trying to get through that. And I was nervous too.
Yeah.
It was the only time during the postseason I was nervous because I knew, and a lot of us kind of had this feeling, we talked about it later, that if we didn't win six, we wouldn't have won seven.
Yeah, I talked to Andy Pettit about that. He said the same thing, actually.
Yeah, a lot of us felt that way.
Yeah, so now, Laird's home run. What was the first thought that came through your mind?
Well, I had a front row seat.
Yeah,
we
seriously.
Were right out there, you know. We had the arc angle of it, so we could see, this thing's going to make it.
Yeah.
Because it kind of looked like with the swing, it was just going to kind of hit a high,
hit off the top
fly ball. And I was like, oh my gosh, But the comeback, I think we were down 5-0 in that game at one point.
Yeah.
And we chipped away, and Leyritz came up with the big three runner. And, a lot of kind of improbable things happened in that season. And I think that at bat kind of summed up, what we were about the whole year.
Yeah.
You think about it, and you look at Baltimore that year, and you look at there are a couple other teams that just on paper just smoked us.
Yeah.
But somehow we always
pulled it out. Right? Now, I have to ask you about Mariano Rivera does credit a lot of his success to you. What was it like mentoring him early on in his career.
Well, he's just beautiful. I mean, he's a beautiful soul, number one, you know. And, he's probably one of the most observant people, players that I've ever come across. Mm-hmm. There wasn't such a need to go in depth with him. He was already there.
Right.
And so I would point something out. He would take notice, and you could see him apply it, you know, almost immediately. So you knew that this guy was going to be something special in the bullpen.
Right. So we had a question come in through Mark. His name is Mark Anthony from Yankee World on Facebook. He said, what was he like? What was Mariano like when he was first beginning his career?
He was really green. He was funny almost. But what wasn't funny is you could see he was struggling, you know, because he kind of came up as a starter and then middle reliever, and he kind of went through all the hoops. But again, that rise in 2 years, I guess it would be 2 years to become a dominant major league closer is really remarkable. Usually guys take 5-6 years at least to take the ball in the ninth inning. So, there was a little of him and me and me and him in that regard. I was given the ball at 25 years old and said, you're our closer. Welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to learn on the go, too.
So I looked up your stats as a batter, career. You batted 167 with one home run and 8 RBIs. Now, I've asked all the other guys here that I think I already know the answer, but the MLB seems to want to integrate pitchers into the home run derby. What is your opinion about that?
Ooh. I don't like it from a physical standpoint at all. We don't train our bodies to hit every day.
Right.
These guys' muscles are conditioned to hit because me and Charlie Hayes were talking about today. These guys take hundreds of swings a day, some of them, and pitchers don't. And you're asking for some serious rib cage trouble, you know.
Obliques.
Yeah.
Okay, so then just my final question was that you retired at 33, which is fairly young for retirement. Do you feel like you could have gone longer?
No, I couldn't because I broke my back throwing a pitch in 2000. So going through everything and trying to avoid surgery, what ended up happening was surgery, and I went through 9 surgeries in the span of 10 years. And so, I mean, I knew my career was over. After I broke my back, the next morning, I went in I went to the park the next day just thinking I needed a good day's rest. But I broke several things in my back just throwing the pitch. So finally the body went. And so I told the trainer, I said, I think I did something bad. So they scheduled me for all the workups the next morning at the hospital. And the doctor, who I knew very well, I'm sitting there in a gown in the room. And he comes in, the door just blasts open, you know, and he's got 2 x-rays in his hands. Mm-hmm. He jams them up into the viewing thing, turns on the light, and he goes, tell me what you see. And why, he goes, this is from spring training, and this was his role.
Wow.
I go, well, now, and my first words are, now my career is over, what about my quality of life? So, and since then, it was very difficult, you know, going through those 10, 11, 12 years. But now it's kind of evened out a little bit, and I'm doing okay.
All right. Well, Daniel McCartan here with John Wetland, and we're enjoying great Yankee game. I think the Yankees are up 5-1 the last I looked.
Oh, good.
I think so.
I haven't been able to see the game
me neither.
Yet.
Okay, well, enjoy the game. Hopefully you get a good look at it, and thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.